This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome, everybody. How are you on this Thursday? It's July. We're in South Africa. It's cold, but it's amazing. As you know, my name is Lerato Shabalala, and this is Living It Up with me on CliffCentral.com. Remember, you can download this week's podcast on CliffCentral.com, as well as last week and the week before. Also, like to remind you, family, that Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, is brought to you by Teller Blinds and Shutters. Is there a way to dress up your windows the way you dress yourself, by the way? To see what me and my guests are wearing today, go to our Facebook page to see how we dress ourselves. But of course, there is a better way to dress your windows the way you dress yourself, with the variety and styles and functions of Teller Blinds and Shutters. Keep your home trendy this season and out of the season, from shutter guard aluminium security shutters for maximum security, to blinds made to set every type of mood. Speaking of mood, it's July, so many of you, we know it's cold, are out there getting intimate, making babies. Some of you are expecting babies. So for the first time in a year of doing this podcast, we wanted to talk particularly children's spaces. And I'm so excited about my first guest. I have two guests today. Our second guest will be joining us a little bit later. I'm sitting with a lady who's so pretty. I actually don't even know what to say to you. Chantal Yonke, welcome to Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Lerato. It's such an honor.
It's lovely
to be on this.
It's podcast. Lovely to hear. It's so lovely to have you here. Now, just in case you're wondering why Chantal is so amazing, okay? She's got an interior company called Yonke Interiors, and why I'm so fascinated in you. So I'm one of those people, I believe in nature. I'm one of those people, I love the outdoors. People who follow me will know I go to the bush a lot. Okay. I respect animals. I think we're all connected as human beings and species and mammals. And so taking care of our environment is a crucial part of what we do. And how we are as human beings. I also love watching Sir David Attenborough, who's a huge naturist and a nature advocate. So when I saw that you have built 5-star and 4-star green rated homes in South Africa, I was like, this is the woman to speak to. Because globally, a lot of people obviously are very serious about nature conservation and building ecologically friendly spaces and houses. But in South Africa, it hasn't picked up as much as we would like it to pick up. What inspired you to be very conscious in your building of? I know you did one property that's 5-star, and I think you did two that are 4-star rated. What made you go, this is the route that I want to take? I mean, your interiors are absolutely beautiful, but like, what made you go that route that said, you know what, I want to build ecologically sound buildings?
Okay, so I think it's, first of all, it's the privilege of being connected with the right people with the same vision. You can only go, you know, to that level of extraordinary designs and unique and ecological friendly designs if you have people that are taking hands with you. And I was privileged and honored to really connect with this is specifically a corporate, a financial institution, which is living up to their vision as a company. And they are not just saying things of where we want to take our people and our communities, that are living it out. So it's backed by the integrity of what you know, what they are preaching
for,
and standing for. So I can say that's where it all started.
And where do you start when you're building a green building or ecologically sound building? Where do you start?
Well, I always say you start with the end in mind.
Ah, so how do you want the space to look
what
in
impact
the end?
Do you want? And I'm really a firm believer of being a movement starter. You know, you need to start this thing in order to have impact. It's like a vehicle.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
When you stand still, it cannot, when it hits a brick wall, you know, when you push it, it's not going to make a dent in the world. But when there is movement, then it's really so impactful. So it's like really starting with, you know, what are we going to achieve? If it's sort of like working on designs that's based on biomimicry, it's really something where you say, okay, so nature is going to inspire you.
Yes.
So what's really working out there? Because sometimes we want to fix things, but we need to work on the things that's already working.
Exactly, exactly.
Being a well-oiled machine means the machine is working, but you just need to add some oil.
So Nashinta, for people who don't understand, what is biomimicry? What does that mean?
It's really the study of nature and bringing it into your design. So like if you look at bees, how they operate, you know, they do a waggle dance to indicate to each other where the food source is coming from. So it's like things that you work into your designs that's been inspired in that nature is already doing.
And also, I mean, what could be a bigger inspiration other than nature? Because it's around us, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We need trees for oxygen to live. We need water for sustenance and hydration.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's, and obviously the soil to just enjoy and nourish us. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes total sense. So now tell me where your business started. How did it all start for you?
Okay, so it all started with a great opportunity with this corporate. I was managing really a strategic portfolio for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then there's actually a great book called Rework.
Okay.
And it's by Jason Friedman and Hans Heinemeier. And they are the owners of 37 Signals.
Okay.
And so they started a byproduct. And it's really this book. And so what I'm trying to say is they said something profound that changed my life from there, from that journey where I was managing that portfolio.
What did you say the name of the book was called again?
Rework.
Rework.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And so they said, scratch your own itch. This is like one of the key points is that they are giving. It is really a nugget of wisdom.
Scratch your own itch.
And so I was being a designer of the strategic portfolio. It's time is of the essence. We're designing for the future. Who knows what the future looks like? Okay. So now I realized as a designer, I needed scaffolding. And the scaffolding was my resources. So I started a platform called Decor Resources South Africa.
Okay.
It was really a free platform for my stockist and contractors to showcase their portfolios, but the main aim was to connect with more resources and then really becoming a specialist helping other designers. It's like the philosophy of a designer hiring a designer, because sometimes we get stuck.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I think collaboration, what I've found is that collaboration is everything. You know, myself as a writer, I'm now headed into a script writing phase.
Awesome.
And I realize it's important to work with other writers so that they can actually help me cultivate the talent everything a little bit more. So I get
amazing.
What you're saying. Yeah.
I think I couldn't like emphasize it any more than what you know, it's amazing that if you think you can really get to the other side alone, you're going to be a loner and you're not going to achieve much.
Exactly.
It's like the Taylor Blinds that's making things happen.
Exactly. And they've been making them happen for 60 years,
can
you know?
See how they reinforce what you're busy building.
Exactly.
So it's so crucial.
Yeah.
They are such a valuable asset.
Yeah.
And
completely.
They really make it easy for us as designers to achieve these.
Because that's what I was going to say to you. I mean, when you're designing a space, where do you, you know, especially like a window, you know, I always think like windows are one of those important things. But before we get there, tell me about spaces. Where do you start when you are putting together interiors? Because when I was looking, by the way, you can go to www.yonkeinteriors.co.za or go to their Twitter page, is @Yonke. By the way, it's J-O-N-K-E interiors. So it's like Yonke without the R. Okay, yeah. Are you with me? So it's Yonke, sounds international. It also sounds like Yonke in Zulu, which means everything. And Chantal, you said you didn't know that that's what it means.
I didn't. this is one of those milestones in my life that I'm just going to put it on my timeline and celebrate it. I'm having cake today.
So I said, Chantal, do you know any Zulu? And you said, in so beautiful, please repeat what you said to the people.
I said to Lerato, umuhle namhlanje.
So I said, oh, ngiyabonga, Chantal. So where do you start when you're designing a person's space? And when I say a person, it could be a corporate or it could be a residential thing. But where do you start with a client? How do you lead them? Because I'm sure you've got... people that you work with, as you said, you've got other designers and you've got manufacturers that you deal with, but your business also makes furniture, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So where do you start when you're designing a space for somebody?
Well, it's all about listening well to the brief. Mm. Your brief is everything. And there's so many facets. It's like your brief, I always see it as a diamond. It's multifaceted.
Mm.
There's so many different sizes. And sometimes you don't realize, even the client themselves, they've got a vision, but they don't always know necessarily how to express
their
vision.
Exactly.
So my role as a designer, and that's where your expertise comes in, you need to help discover that little treasure that they are, you know, that they are trying to express and trying to get to. So it really comes with a lot of different angles where you need to, like, for instance, to make it more practical, it would be, you know, in terms of color psychology.
Mm.
What's your favorite colors? What's your favorite design style? And some people doesn't know necessarily what a design style is.
Yeah, and you know, in fact, when we started our first episode with Taylor Blinds and Shutters, we spoke to Johan Slayer from Architects & Co. And one of the things why I wanted to start the show, I wanted him to help people understand how they figure out what their style is, their design style is, just as a, you know, just initially. Because I think people are like, oh, you know, I like this kind of stuff, but I don't know what that style is called. And I think it's just important for people to know you do have a particular style that you like, even though you may not know what it's called.
Yes, and that's why, as a designer, you've got so many tools. We live in an absolute amazing period in our lives where we've got so many platforms. We've got Pinterest, we've got Twitter, we've got Facebook.
Exactly.
So there's so many ways that you can streamline things and say, okay, well, so maybe you don't know what it's called, but look at these pictures and tell us what resonates with you.
Mm.
What is speaking to you?
Mm.
What is helping you to, like, get excited and see, oh, this is exactly what I want to achieve.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's really making it, I always call it the common thread.
Okay.
You always pull a common thread of your life story, your family, your business, your values that you want to pull through the design. That's where we're just connecting the dots.
Yes.
It's like, you know, they've got the dots, but we as designers, we just connect the dots.
Yeah, so that it's a cohesive space.
Yes.
How would you describe your design style as Yonke Interiors? How would you say this is our signature? You know, whether in terms of textures or colors or the aesthetic itself.
I would say the layering, the way that I layer my projects. I like to have the liberty of, you know, just the freedom of designing and putting things together, but it's textures. I'm not afraid.
Mm.
I'm not afraid of trying things. Be whimsical sometimes.
I think whimsical is so important because life is practical all the time.
Exactly.
And to have a little bit of fantasy, a little bit of fantasy makes life worth living.
Absolutely. Okay? We need to become, once again, more like children.
Yes.
We need to be little kids playing around. Most of the most amazing discoveries I was done whilst people were playing, like kids.
Yeah.
Like the Newton that discovered the force of gravity playing and looking at an apple tree.
Yeah, and also, you know, I often use Newton's third law of motion as one of the most important laws ever, which is for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, which is also known as karma.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so you use nature, something as simple as you say, as, you know, Newton was playing, to then...
Yes, to discover something.
Yeah, exactly. And show you real life. Yes. Now, I know you're married. I don't have any children. Do you have children?
No, not yet. So I'm like, when you with your intro, I was like ready to go home and take a day off. It's so cold.
I know it is cold. So today we're talking children's spaces. Now, before we get to children's spaces, when you are... When you become two in a marriage, right?
Yes.
You are obviously merging two styles. And then you're going to add a baby on that.
Yes.
What is one of the first tips as a designer that you would give a couple when approaching a space? Because let's say neither of you have had children.
Yes.
And this is the first time both of you are having a child and you're choosing a space. Because today's show, by the way, is about just the evolution, taking a kid's space and allowing it to evolve from a time a kid is a nursery to toddler. One of the first things you're going to what you'd say to people, think about this first. And in a little bit after the break, I'm going to get a guest who actually makes children's furniture in children's room to join us in this discussion. I'm looking forward to Jackie Frost joining us. But Chantal, what are the first things you would say, whether it's one tip or three tips? You guys are about to have a kid. Think about this in terms of the space.
Well, I always say that, you know, you need to, especially with, we need to be, to monetize our design and our approach. Because the thing is, we are, not everyone's got just money laying around so that they can just, with every phase of their child's life, they can just transform their room.
Yeah, and that's the truth. So, and I'm glad you said that, yeah.
Yes, and even if you have that, I think more people out there need help in terms of, you know, where you can make a difference. So I always say that they need to look at elements that are timeless.
Okay.
So timeless elements. And within that, I always touch on curiosity. I always like to ensure that a child's space, whether from a nursery to a toddler's, that phase, if you can trigger that imagination.
Yes.
There's actually a psychiatrist, his name is Edward Hallowell.
Okay.
And he studies brain activities whilst kids are playing. It's really showing how the executive function of the brain is being stimulated. And that is...
by the environment the kid is in.
Yes. Oh, so God. I always make sure that I trigger imagination. I trigger that curiosity. I trigger that playfulness so that your child can develop that executive function of becoming a great leader, becoming a great... parent one day. So it's and these executive functions are things like,
because that's what I was going to ask next. How do you, if in practical terms, what would an element that conjures up curiosity or imagination, what would that look like? I mean, is it so I have this fantasy that when I do eventually have a child or children, of having a planetarium. I love the stars.
Yes.
Oh, and I love the idea of having a ceiling that looks like a sky at night with stars when they sleep, so that they feel like, you know. So is that the kind of thing you're talking about in terms of your imagination, or are you talking more practical things?
Yes, okay. And elements of where they can discover. If you, for instance, have a furniture designed. I'm just making it now a little bit more practical. If they've got a Ferrari in the room, you need to be able to take off the wheel. Because remember, the executive function is the things that teaches you life skills.
Yes.
It teaches you how to plan, how to prioritize. how to anticipate. So it's those kind of triggers.
So essentially what you're saying is that a children's space is not only about, oh, they must, you know, feel stimulated, but it's also about them feeling like they're prepared for life, that it's,
yes,
it's a space that allows them to grow a little, hey?
Yes, absolutely, because we need to remember that when they are in nursery, that phase, we already need to prepare them for that transitioning over to the toddler phase. And then once again from a toddler phase to becoming a teenager and so on. So we always need to prepare our children to how to transform and how to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know, how to align expectations about life.
So when you talk about life skills, you do mean also things like the toys that you pick around the room.
And also, like, for instance, I'm a firm believer of, you know, movements. You need to start a movement wherever you are. You have to make an impact. And your child, in his space or in her space, they need to learn how to become givers.
Exactly, exactly.
So they've got a million toys, but there should be a little box that's marked that says, when I'm ready, I'm gonna drop this toy in that box because someone else needs it.
Mm.
And you need to teach, as parents, you need to become, you need to actually play two roles.
Yes.
You are a coach. Any athlete, they've got a coach. You know, so even if you are great, you still need a coach.
Yes.
And you need to be a comforter.
Exactly, exactly.
So, you know, you need to teach your child in that space. And that's why I don't take it for granted when you design or when you implement something in terms of like a room for a toddler.
Yes.
It's really the foundation, psychological foundations that you are laying down for your children, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's important, because that's why this show is not just about furniture and making sure that the furniture is nice and beautiful, but it's also about making sure that the child is ready for anything. I'm still talking to Chantal Yonke from Yonke Interiors. Remember, you can follow them at Jonke Interiors on Twitter, and it's www.yonkeinteriors.com. To see their work. Remember that Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Are your windows and doors crying out for some much needed attention? Well, you better pay your windows some attention, because that's the first thing that people see, okay? Taylor Blinds and Shutters are the stylish solution to give them a breath of fresh air. Trusted, innovative, quality, and style. Yes, Taylor Blinds and Shutters. We are going to be talking shortly to Dream Furniture's Jackie Frost. They make children's furniture, children's rooms. It's going to be a lovely, fantastic conversation continued with Chantal. Remember, go to for more tips, go to and search hashtag Taylor Blinds, Taylor Shutters, Taylor Tips, as well as Taylor Style on Instagram. Is at Taylor Shutters. I'm very, very excited to be chatting to Jackie Frost from Dream Furniture. How are you, Jackie?
Very well, Lerato. Thank you.
Good. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I won't even rip you about the fact that you... You thought you were meant to come at another time. Oh, wait, I think I just did it.
Thanks, Lerato.
I just want to see you turn red. So Dream Furniture is incredibly amazing. You guys started this company in 2000.
Correct.
And now it's been 18 years. Can you believe it, or does it feel like a little bit of a blur that you've been creating these spaces and this business for this long?
It does seem like it's been a rewarding,
challenging, lovely,
busy, developing, changing, a lot of things.
So what made you decide to go with children's spaces? Why was that a thing for you? Did you just had you had your first child?
I actually had my second child.
Okay.
And my sister and I were due on the same day.
Okay.
And we both came from corporate. And we decided we needed to do a room for each of our bubbas.
Okay.
And that's when we discovered there really wasn't much available.
And there really isn't. And I think that was part of the reason why I wanted to do this show today, is I think that people, you know, you watch celebrities and they've got these beautiful kiddies homes, spaces, and you're like, how do I do the same for my child? How do I create a beautiful space for my child? And there's usually not that many places to go to.
Exactly. And certainly not somewhere where you can get everything under one roof.
Yes, exactly. You got to go to 500 different places to get one thing. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So first of all, you said you and your sister were in corporate South Africa. Were you doing furniture at all? Were you doing something?
No, I was in banking.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I see why. We love the banks to sing. So was it just a project that became a business, or when you guys started doing your children's rooms, did you realize, oh, we could turn this into something?
Exactly.
Okay. So where do you start? So now, like, what happens?
Well, it was a case of sourcing the right suppliers that were supplying the product that we would want.
Yeah.
You know, you want something that you're going to pass on that you can stand by.
Mm.
And the functionality became very important as well, because we wanted to know we could still use what we were buying for an extended time.
Some things are really pretty, but you can't go anywhere with them. You can't use them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you wanted to combine sort of something that was aesthetically pleasing to the eye, but also practical as a mom.
Correct.
Can you tell us what's the first thing you guys made as a business? Like the first, because by the way, Dream Furniture makes cribs, cots, chest of drawers, they make trolleys, they also do bedding, so duvets. So what was the first thing that you made that both of you and your sister and whoever else looked at it and you thought, you know what, we have hit a groove?
It was the sleigh cot.
Okay. And what was it like? How and whose kid ended up having it, yours or your sister's?
We both had. So the fun part was with the sleigh cot having the conversion to a toddler bed, to a couch. And then we sat on that couch to make sure that we could all sit on the couch, that it actually did work.
So I find it interesting that the sleigh cot was built with the purpose of repurposing it, of it evolving.
Correct.
So what were the touch points? How did you know, what did you have to change so that it could become a toddler's bed, so that it could become a sofa? Because I'm sure that mechanically there are a lot of things that you needed to move around.
We didn't need to change very much. We
really?
Literally just maneuvered the rails, and that allowed you the freedom to use it as a toddler bed or as a couch.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And I do know of clients that today have got a sleigh couch in their entrance hall.
Wow, wow. So can you tell me your first client experience where you were asked to make a kiddie space? Can you, where now it's not just you and your sister doing it for yourself, where, you know, there's a brief, there's somebody, there's something that they want, and what was that experience like?
It was overwhelming. It was quite daunting. But I think we were on the same page. We wanted
you and the
to
client.
Have, correct. Mm. We wanted to make sure that that space was filled correctly, and we wanted to make sure that it had longevity.
Mm.
That was very important. And that's where we concluded that storage is such an important part of a kid's bedroom.
Yeah, and so my boyfriend is a 4-year-old who stays with us over the weekend, and I'm the first of three, so I became incredibly practical in, you know, one of the worst things is when you go to people's houses and the toys, you know, the people are falling over, breaking their teeth and their ankles. And I realized if there are spaces where kids can put stuff in, where it can still feel like adults live there and it's not a crash, it's important. And also for them to learn a sense of responsibility.
Yes.
You know, for him or her to know, I need my toys, go here. I put them down. I get them out of here. And then, so I get that. I mean, I understand how important storage is. And it also must look nice, right, Jackie?
Correct. And that's why we've evolved to a point where we have, for instance, beds, which are a great idea for kids' bedrooms. It allows them the to use the space nicely. And then they've got storage trolleys underneath those beds, which can live on as well as underbeds. Underbeds can be pulled out and become another sleeping area. So people use the space very cleverly, even though bedrooms are nowadays a lot smaller.
So for people who don't understand, Jackie, an underbed is a bed that is underneath.
Correct. It fits all the way under the bed, whether it's a single bed or a three-quarter or a double. It's on wheels, and it gets pulled out with its mattress, and you can have somebody sleep on there, or you can take the mattress out and use it for storage.
Now, let's talk something really sensitive. We live in the world, in a world of equality, and, you know, we don't want women to be put in the side, but people still decorate their baby girl's room in pink and the baby boy's room in blue. Now, what do you think of things like that? I mean, do you think it's evolving? Do you think that spaces are becoming a little less gender focused?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm finding very much the trends are your grays, your stones, your neutrals, your earth tones. And I think it's because people are evolving, but also they want to look at the longevity of the.
Yeah. If you're going to evolve a space, I mean, you can't always paint it every, you know,
exactly.
2 years.
So if you do your base and your grays and your stones, you can add a pop of pink quite easily in a non-permanent way that's easily changed in the future.
So do you mean like in the terms of furniture?
Furniture,
or soft
linen,
furnishings,
accessories,
yeah.
Everything.
So you would encourage parents to actually consider accessories and soft furnishings and things like that as a way to add
Bring more color, correct.
Okay, so that makes complete sense. By the way, if you want to see Jackie's work, and it is outstanding, go on Instagram. It's dream.furniture2000, because the business started in the year 2000. And on Facebook, it is dreamfurn, like F-U-R-N for furniture. You can see Jackie's work and the amazing things that they create. So this is a question for both you ladies. I'll start with you, Jackie. When you are creating a space, you start, maybe it's just you and your husband, and then you move on to have kids. How do you work their personality in? Because, I mean, they're a baby, you know. So how do you figure out what to put in the room that will get them? And look, I mean, babies at 3 months, they have a personality. You know, like, they're either sleeping too much or they talk a lot even though nobody knows what they're saying. So they do have a personality. But how do you begin to have spaces that are inspiring? I think Chantal was just talking earlier about creating a space that makes the kid curious and sort of evokes their imagination. Where do you start, Jackie, with something like that?
I think for me it's very much based on what the parents want.
Okay.
The environment they see their little one evolving in, and that they too will enjoy.
Yep.
Because it's a space they will enjoy and they will spend time in.
So what would you say, Chantal? I know you also said that you'd start with the brief, which is kind of similar to what Jackie's saying.
I really, it's like watching a child, their behaviors, their interest. That's really the building blocks for converting or transforming your kid's space.
Yeah.
So it's really to see, okay, so you've watched your child develop, and there's things that really grabs his or her attention, and it's really to build on from there. So maybe you see that your child is likes to build a lot of blocks, but they don't have an interest in anything else.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's sort of like they are overwhelmed, and that's their focus point.
Yeah.
Then it's really just, you know, it's making it sort of on a bigger scale, something that can really help them develop that skill or that ability further. So it's really you nurturing your child in terms of brain food, education, helping them growing and becoming and learning.
Yeah, because it's not just about the space. It's one of the things we're talking about. It's much more than the space. Let's talk a little bit, Jackie, about bedding. So obviously adults, we like a nice thread count, 200 and above, you know.
We like the same for babies and for toddlers.
So that's what I was going to ask. I mean, is it the same for babies and toddlers? Is there
Absolutely.
A particular material that you should be using for your children's linen, or is...
It should be cotton, because then it's breathable.
Yeah.
They're not going to overheat underneath it. And obviously it washes and wears very well.
Yeah.
That's important.
Okay. So what are the materials that you should not consider for kiddies' bedding?
Synthetic.
Ah.
Anything synthetic that's going to make them hot.
My grandmother was a nurse, And she always used to say, because people in South Africa, particularly black people, put a lot of clothes in their kids. And she used to say, remember, they're small, but they're a person. They get hot. They just can't tell you that they're hot. So don't pile your baby with a lot of clothes. And I think I said anything synthetic, because children will get hot. And I think like they can't say to you, please get this off of me. I'm hot. So it's up to you as a parent to be cognitive of that.
Correct.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Jackie, but what is the one thing that does not belong in a kid's room? Three things where you're like, is it a television? Is it, what are the things where if you want to, as Chantal was saying, have a child that is, has imagination, has life skills, so you bring them the right toys. What are the things that should not be in the bedroom for whatever reason, whether it's because it's going to distract them, but what would you say kids' rooms shouldn't have? And from what age?
If it's toddlers, I would say probably a TV.
Yeah.
Because you do want to, like Chantal said, you do want to have an area where they're able to stimulate, you know, where they are playing with blocks, where they are reading books, and not sitting in front of a TV.
Because, and the thing is, I don't want to sound like, because if you're listening to last week's show, I was talking about TVs in the bedroom for adults, and I was saying, look, I understand some of us, our husbands love the tennis is on now, and people love, you know, the soccer, it's on now, the football. Like, TV can also be distracting in the bedroom for adults, but I think it's much worse for children because it's a space where you receive. You don't actually, it's not an interaction where you are participating in whatever's happening. You literally are in a vegetative state where you're, you know, receiving and receiving and receiving. And I think if it also makes it easier for you to watch your kids if the TV is in a communal area. So, correct. I mean, I would tend to agree with you a lot there. Chantal, do you have anything to add around kids' spaces?
I would definitely say you get parents that they create these spaces like a don't touch it zone.
Yeah.
But it's their space. They need to feel free and have the liberty to play and do whatever they want to do. They need to feel safe and secure. So I would really say people that tends to go the route of having objects and little ornaments that sort of like if that child breaks that thing, then he's going to get a hiding of his life, you know. So it's things that are not very practical and helping them to develop. And
so even though you like that nice, cute vase, leave it alone because the kid will drop it. And I mean, as you say, like, you know, kids need to be able to make mistakes. And I think like if they can't, then you have an issue.
Yes.
Before we sort of wrap up, can you believe like this hour goes so quickly? You're just like, where did it go? Jackie, I wanted to ask you about light in kids' rooms. And a lot of kids are afraid of light, especially when they're toddlers. How much light should you have in a kid's room? Is that even a problem? Is there such a thing as too much light? Because you want them to rest, because that's when they're growing, you know?
Well, I think that blinds are an outstanding idea for a kid's room.
Yeah.
Because it allows that natural light to come in. But also you can close it off when they are having their afternoon sleep or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, because isn't that important? I mean, I remember, which was years ago. I'm so long ago, I need binoculars to see how myself as a, like, a early tween. It was so long ago. But they also need to sleep. So I think you need some light to come in, but also, as you say, to be able to shut it out. What kind of light, I mean, blinds would you suggest for parents? And also, I would assume that it would also be easier to clean.
I mean, I'm not really an expert on
blinds.
No, of course.
Yeah,
but I would say my gut would say something that was easy to open and close and not easy to break. Because if a child is going to open and close them, you also need to know that that's not going to be a problem.
Yes. And what about sort of soft light, like lamps, etc.? Are those, I mean, you're going to be reading to the kid. How do you want a big fat lamp, or do you want, you know, sort of a main light, you know, because that's, how does it work for you? You can talk from personal experience, not just as a furniture maker and a designer, just as a mom.
I prefer soft light.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
In kids' rooms, in my room, in living spaces. I just find it's got a nicer ambiance. It's more peaceful.
Mm.
And I think if you are wanting to read a book, you can still do that with a nice lamp.
Mm.
So I don't think full light. I think that may overstimulate.
Yeah, I feel like a little vampire sort of person. But I also, what's nice about ambient light is that you, if you're reading it in a bedroom, you can switch it off immediately as opposed to leaving the bed and disrupting the sleep of the child, right? You want it to be an easy transition where you switch off the light, but they still feel your body next to you, and then eventually they slip off. So I happen to agree with you there. Chantal, I wanted to just to find out from you, if I have a teenager who now decides they know what they want, but it's not their house. I'll leave the same question for you as well, Jackie. Where do you start with saying, okay, you can get this? Like, for instance, my mom, you couldn't have posters. You couldn't have, you know, she was like, this is my house. I don't want you to turn it into, and then her golden son was born, and then her son had posters all over the place when you couldn't. But how do you get your child, especially as a teenager's taste, into their space?
Once again, I'm a firm believer that you're, like, from every phase that your child is going through, they've got muscle memory. Mm. I always refer to it as muscle memory.
Mm.
And the moment when they are teenagers, what do? You flex your muscles.
Mm.
Okay, so that's where you also need to allow their personality to come through.
Mm.
Because you know what? We always need to remember, as parents, you want your child to remember, you know, what it feels like to be home. Mm. And in your space, in your zone, your comfort zone. And, you know, they are one, you know, moving forward and looking at the future, they're also going to be parents one day. And so I just feel that there should be freedom to allow your child to express. And I was a problem child.
Really?
Yes. So I had some strange things happening in my room, you know, in terms of how I decorated my room. It was completely against, I think, what my mom and my dad, they, you know,
would have believed wished
and all of that. Mm. But they allowed me to be me.
Mm.
So, you know, there's also reasons for people. I'm a firm believer that everything, there's always a root.
Yeah.
And it will always surface. And sometimes we, you know, as teenagers, sometimes they're wearing masks.
Mm.
They don't know who they are.
But especially now in the time of social media.
So, yes, they also need to find themselves, and you need to have the space. It's a platform for them to discover.
Yeah, help
you know,
them
who
guide.
Am I?
Yeah.
What's my purpose?
Yeah.
You know, where I'm going. You know, I've made a few mistakes, but they're not there yet to acknowledge it, because they're always right.
Yeah, they're hormonal mainly.
Yes. Yeah, so
guide them and help you. Because, Jackie, would you say the same thing as well?
I do. That, like, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think each child is different, and their whole personality is different. Nobody's made from a mold.
Yes, exactly.
So you've got to let them be who they are. Yeah. Obviously, it can't impact on the rest of the household, but, or it shouldn't.
Yeah.
But if it's their space, it's their space.
Yeah. For somebody looking to use your services, Jackie, how would you describe Dream Furniture's outlook, aesthetic? I mean, I asked the same question of Chantal earlier about Yonke Interiors. Just how would you describe what you do? You know, if a person is thinking, I really like her, I really like what she says, I might want to work with her, but where do I start? Like, where, what is she like? How, what would you say people should expect when coming to use your services?
I'm very much a person that is open to other people.
Mm.
I like to interact with other people.
Mm.
And I like to enjoy their time as well.
Yes.
So that's important for me,
yes,
is that we make this work together.
Mm.
And it's a very friendly, personal relationship. I don't want a corporate relationship with my client.
Yeah.
I want them to feel at ease and enjoy the time that we have together developing that special space.
Have you done a space where you saw the kid being 5 and then the kid being 10? Have you done anything like that? Or, you know, where you've had to evolve a space?
I'm actually busy with one at the moment.
Oh, can you tell us a little bit about that?
So that little boy is now 10 going on 11, and we did his baby nursery.
Oh, my word.
So we're actually in the middle of it. And one of the things that we're dealing with is a shelf unit that's got drawer storage and trolley storage, and it's got a roof on the top. So what we're going to do is we're going to repurpose it and remove the roof, which is what really keeps it a baby unit, and develop it into his teen room.
And are you consulting with him or just the parents? I mean, are you sitting with him and saying, mom, what do you like? Or does she tell you what he likes?
She'll tell me, yes.
Well, I mean, I'm so excited to see, like, projects like this are really exciting to me. Before we close off, okay, I have the same question for both of you guys. What are the three tips you would give a parent? I'll start with you, Jackie, maybe I should start with you, Chantal, for decorating a space. What are the three things you should think about when you are about to expect a little one and you now have to create a space for them? What are the three tips you would give parents? Oh, it could be five. If you've got five, you've got five. If you've got one, you've got one. Yeah. It's up to you, ladies.
So, like I said before, I always go and say, look at the timeless factor. You want to create a space that is easy to transform into the next phase of their life. I always look at, because some people get a little bit lost in terms of the styling of the room as well, because even though it's a space, it's a playful space, it's a themed space, you still want to make sure that as a designer also to achieve the right style. So there's always three things that I look at linking, and it's your light, your rug, and a chair. If you can merge that together in terms of the same DNA, the design DNA, then you are going to, you know, if you don't have an appointed designer, you are going to look like you know what you're doing.
What you're doing.
Exactly.
I think that's such great advice. Chantal Yonke says that look for things that are timeless. So if your house is already, if your house as an adult already looks timeless, consider the same for your kids' rooms. Consider light. Like we said, light is very important. Light is what creates serotonin. It makes us happy. It makes us want to jump up. So think about the light. Think about your rug. We spoke about rugs on last week's show. In the bedroom as well. Don't go for a little silly rug that's going to make the room look small. You want something plush and amazing that your kid will want to put their feet on when they wake up in the morning. And of course, a chair. Like Jackie was saying earlier, the Dream Furniture creates chairs. So think about what kind of chair you want. There's a rocking chair, you know, when you're telling a story. Is it a chair that can evolve? But obviously it needs to be comfortable because somebody's going to be on your lap for a very long time. And then, Jackie, what would you say, what would be your tips?
I would say, first of all, look at your space. What size room do you have? Then you can play that up against other items that you would want and tick them off or cross them off.
That's so important because people usually try to retrofit furniture into a space. And it's like, you first need to look at a space and then figure out which furniture fits in. Don't buy the furniture and then expect it to work with the space.
Correct. That's but a chair is an essential. Okay. I have to agree.
So you mentioned a size and a good chair. But now, what makes it, when you say a good chair, because this is what you do. This is, you've been doing this for almost 20 years now. What is a good chair in a kiddie's room? Like, what does it look like?
I would say, starting off with a new parents building a nursery, it would be a wingback rocking chair that is nice and supportive so that when they get to toddler phase, they can still use that. They can sit with the little one, read books. It can grow with the space and with the child.
I mean, if you're not inspired by today's show, I don't know. You guys are. If you're having a baby, or you're about to create a baby because it is July.
I need to leave now.
You need to go and make magic happen. I want to thank you both for visiting me today. I hung out with We should tell Yonke from Yonke Interiors, www.yonkeinteriors, to see their work as well as Dream Furniture. They specialize in kiddie spaces. So whether you're looking for a cart, whether you're looking for bedding, whether any kind of help you need there, please get in touch with Jackie Frost. You can get in touch with them on Instagram. It's Dream. Yes, like when you sleep and you dream like that. .furniture2000 or on Facebook, Dream FURN. Remember also for all these tips that I've read out today, including getting a very good chair, getting a good rug for your kiddies' rooms, you can go to #TaylorBlinds, #TaylorShutters, TaylorTips and TaylorStyle, or go to @TaylorShutters on Instagram to see what they do. Just want to remind you that Living It Up with me, Lira Joshamala, is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Dress up your windows from home to the office with the assurance of 60 years high quality products. Taylor Blinds and Shutters brings home the textures, colors, fabrics, and patterns. Innovative materials that your space has been waiting for. I will catch you guys next week, ladies. Thank you very much.
Oh,
thank you very much. You can see what they look like on our Facebook page, to see what these ladies look like on our pictures, as well as download the podcast on clipcentral.com. Have a wonderful day. Catch you next week, everybody. Bye.
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 This is clipcentral.com.